For our Old Testament reading today, it comes from Isaiah 35, 4 to 10. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass will become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Our New Testament reading for today comes from Mark 10, 46 to 52. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling to you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way.
So, I had a really neat experience this week. Christina was sitting there and I said, have you heard of this hymn? And she had it in her hand. So I know this is the right story. Robbie Robertson wrote the beautiful hymn, Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. It's an amazing hymn. Of all the hymns I've heard, it's one of the most beautiful worded hymns. What stood out to me is that he wandered away. That he didn't stick with faith. Why is that? Why did he lose that faith? Well, I wonder if the scripture today can help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your living word. We pray that you give us strength and wisdom to listen and eyes and ears to hear. Amen. Our story starts out with blind Bartimaeus. He's sitting on the side of the road. He is a nobody. He is an absolute nobody. Bartimaeus is the lowest form. You remember when the man was born blind in John? Who sinned? That's how they saw him. And he is sitting there and he says, cries out when this crowd comes to him, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they rebuke him. He says it again. Son of David, have mercy on me. And this time Jesus hears it and calls him. What's interesting, the crowd changes right away. They say, come on in. And what he does is incredible. He throws off his cloak, the one thing that he owned. You were never allowed to take a cloak in the Torah. The cloak was the last thing a person could have. It was their sleeping bag. It would kept them from being shamed with their body, and he throws it off, and he comes running to them, and he says, I love this word, sprang up. Like, he is so pumped that he's there. He says, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, let me recover my sight. That's going to be profound. Let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Now you say, Emery, you went through that really fast. Yes, I did. Because the point of this story is on the way. The point of this story is not the healing, but what it's trying to say to us. So you have to know that on the way represented a prophetic fulfillment from Isaiah. We read it today. Thank you, Kat. And it's this prophetic thing. They all agreed that God would come. And you remember the prophecy that she read. The blind will see, right? That there will be a day when everything gets turned over. And then the prophecy says something profound. And a highway shall be there. Remember, they're traveling together. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk what? Right? Do you see it? Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. So what's going on? We have someone that everyone sees as the ultimate fool, don't we? He is somebody who sinned. He's an idolater. He's nobody. How has this guy become holiness? Right? How can this man be the one that is clean when he is so clearly in their eyes unclean? How? Well, to understand this text, we have to understand that there is a way. And to understand that, we must understand that there is a non-way. The missed way. First of all, you must understand there is a missed way, and it is the way we all go. It is the way of idolatry. It's the way that I will worship myself. Paul describes it this way. People who change the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. That's the way we all go. Okay? That's who we are internally. But there's also another way, the wrong way. This is the way where you actually believe you're worshiping God, but you're worshiping a God made in your image. You can call him Jesus Christ. You can call him whatever you want. This is the God that they have been worshiping, the disciples, a God that isn't the God who reveals himself, the God we make up and then justify our evil in the name of God. Alistair Begg, idolatry consists not only in the worship of false gods, but also in the worship of the true God in false ways. There is the only way then, Jesus Christ. We all agree with that. Jesus is not one of many ways to approach God, nor is he the best of several ways. He is the only way. Okay, Emery, we all know that. We've been going to church for a while, right? But this section's not actually about that. It's about following on the way. So what is it about Bartimaeus that makes him on the way? It's not his holiness. It's not his goodness. He understands something no one else did in antiquity. They all understood God was just, and he would bring vindiction against those who didn't worship him. They all understood that. They understood that they were the holy people. And they all wanted a God that would destroy their enemies. What they forgot was one thing. One thing that they all forgot, and I'm going to tell you, Son of David means Messiah. They all knew that. What they didn't remember again and again, that he's a God of mercy. You can read the intertestamental texts. You can read all of the stuff that we have in the Talmud, those texts that were written around the time of Jesus. And they will talk about God's holiness, and they will talk about God's vindictiveness. But what they don't talk about is the mercy of God. It's not their main thing. God is holy and just. He will die if we stand in front of him. What did Bartimaeus have going for him? He certainly didn't have his physical abilities. Socially, he was a nobody. He remembered one thing. His God was the God of the Exodus. The people were not called because they were holy or just. The Lord passed before him to Moses and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in what? Steadfast love and faithfulness. Keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. But who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children's generation, third and fourth, etc. Foundationally, he is a God of love. But he's also, as we see here, a God of justice. Bartimaeus was sitting there, and he was a nobody. But he trusted in a God. He trusted in a God of mercy because he knew his Old Testament. He knew his people were not called. So how do we deal with a Bartimaeus? How does he speak to us about being on the way? Well, he certainly tells us one thing. The unjust and the unfaithful only have one hope. Because God will bring his justice. God will bring his justice to everyone who destroys humanity whom he made in his image. And blind Bartimaeus knew, because he had nothing to stand on, that he had to hang on to this text that maybe God was merciful. And he cried out to him, "Have mercy upon me." And Jesus did. This is the whole point of Mark's gospel, is what I want to argue. God is just in Mark's gospel. By the way, this whole idea that God needs to include everybody and it's like inclusion and all of that other stuff that's going on, that's not biblical Christianity. Those titles are not there. Because what that means is we want permission to do whatever we want, even if we destroy each other. That's not mercy. Blind Bartimaeus stands out because he's a product of the fall. He's blind. He's an idolater. That's how they saw idolatry. And yet, he knows he has no hope and he cries out to mercy. And this is the amazing part of the gospel. I want you to hear this. It isn't that God says, "Oh, everything's okay. Go ahead and do what you want. I'm just a big grandpa in the sky wanting to give you noogies." What he says is, "What do you want?" And then what he does is he takes on blind Bartimaeus and your and I judgment. I want you to understand that. This is a God who's just. But rather than meeting it out to the people who deserve it, me, and I hate to break it to you, you, he takes it upon himself. And Mark's been trying to tell us this, hasn't he? This whole part of this section has been bookended by two blind men. That's how you know how to read these things. And this whole section is about people who have the false image of God and they don't know the mercy of God. It started with Jesus healing the blind man at Bethsaida. You remember that? And there was two healings. Why two? He heals them once. I see people like trees. What are trees? Wood? What is wood and makes them look like people? Idols. So he looks around and he sees idolatry. He has to have a second healing. Now everybody goes, why does he do that? Is Jesus not powerful enough? Come on. Then he does it again and he sees image bearers, true human beings. He needs to have two healings. And then the rest of the section is all going on this point. Jesus' first proclamation, he's going to the cross. You remember that? The way of shame, the way of cursedness. And Peter rebukes him because he has a view of God as vindictive and just, and he's going to destroy. And Peter rebuked the Lord. Two healings. Peter needs more, doesn't he? Jesus says that the kingdom is about dying to himself. Jesus reveals himself in the transfiguration. You remember that? What an amazing moment. They're all like, wow, let's make three tents so that we can all worship you. You remember that? And then they come down the hill And the disciples are arguing with the rabbis about why they can't cast out a demon. Do you see the two healings needed? Jesus showed them who he was. They have a false view of who he is, and thus they cannot even destroy the fruit of idolatry, which is what demonization was in antiquity. Jesus, second time, reveals about his shameful death. And what do the disciples do? They argue about who's the greatest. You starting to see a theme here? Jesus censures divorce and says the kingdom is for children. Why was that important? Why would he bookend those two? Because women in the ancient world got divorced all the time, and once they were divorced, they were thrown away. And what about children? They were nobodies. He does this because he's making a point. He is the God of the nobodies, the merciful God. Jesus sends one of the blessed in his world, the rich young ruler. How could he not be blessed? He even said, I obey all the commandments, right? And Jesus said, I have one last thing. You got to give your stuff away. And he goes away because of his idolatrous heart. This man wouldn't give away anything. What did Bartimaeus just do? Threw away his everything. Jesus tells them the third time about his crucifixion. The disciples argue about who's going to be second in command. Have we got the theme yet? Everything Jesus does points to mercy, grace, and nothingness for us and who he is. And everything we do is that we're somebody. And we forget this again and again and again. So do I. We start making it about us again and again and again, and we forget that the only reason we are standing here worshiping together is because he chose to have mercy on you. So easy to forget and to think he's lucky to have us, isn't it? Why is Bartimaeus stand out for me? He's so incredible because he sits there and he says, have mercy on me. And he's the one that goes on the way. So let me go back to my friend Robert. I keep calling him Robbie Robertson. Remember that? Anyways. Robert Robertson. Thank you. I'm old enough to remember that. I think he was like a singer, wasn't he? Thank you. Robert Robertson. Very different person. Why did he walk away? Well, I'm going to tell you, I did some research on him. Because once Christine and I had our spiritual moment, I thought, I better look up this guy. What's interesting is he went on, he was this nobody from a nobody home. His dad had died, and back in the day, back in England, you didn't have social services, right? And so he ends up going off and joining a gang and just trying to keep his life alive. And he also does this incredible thing where he's like, trying to think of the right words to say. He would go out and he would go and mock. That's the best way of saying it. The mock churches. That's what he would do. Because he was so angry that this had happened to him. And he started working in the coal mines. Because, like 12, okay? And then he joins a gang, and then they all decide they're going to go mock another preacher. And they walk in, and it's George Whitefield. Does anybody know who I'm talking about here? Okay, if you don't know George Whitefield, go look him up. He was part of the First Great Awakening. And Whitefield's words were overpouring him, and he came in to mock it, and he walked out a converted man. He couldn't believe this God loved him. After everything he had done, he was blown away. And at 21 years old, he wrote this hymn. And it's beautiful, isn't it? Guess what happened? He went into ministry. Sorry, you have to be there. And they taught him how to be a Christian. And that was a mistake. And they started telling him, you better get it right. And he started getting involved. And the big debate at the time was adult or infant baptism. And he got heavily involved in it. He ended up on the side of infant baptism. They started arguing with his friends and his family. And they were all mad at each other. And then he got into other theological debates. And then something happened. It became about him. Him getting it right. Well, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. There's good news. God is faithful to us, sinners. He was riding in a stagecoach, and a woman wouldn't stop singing. Guess what she was singing? Come, thou font of every blessing. And she got to the point where she hit this verse. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Does that sound like blind Bartimaeus? Let the grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for the courts above. Well, as the story goes, he was sickened of this. He was trying to shut her up. And finally he looked at her, and I'm reading this from the testimony. Madame, I am the poor, unhappy man who in the day wrote that hymn many years ago. And I would give 1,000 worlds if I had them to enjoy the feelings I had then. Gently, she said, sir, the streams of mercy are still flowing. And he started to cry. And all of a sudden, he became blind Bartimaeus again. He wasn't the great theologian debating where to go or how to baptize. He was that man again that first walked into Whitfield's sermon. And according to the story, he finally went back and he began to preach grace, and he died a year later. That good news? So if you want to ask me why I didn't spend a lot of time on the text, I'm going to tell you why I didn't. Because the text is pointing to us. How are we going to follow on the way? I'm going to tell you there's only one way. Grace and mercy. And you're going to need it, not just today, but every day. You're going to wake up and need it, and you're going to go to bed and need it. And the good news is it does keep flowing. And it does keep changing you. Hebrews was written to a church that was struggling. Hebrews was written with great theology. Don't hear it. This is not against theology. But this is when we take ourselves too seriously. And he's talking to them, and he's living in this world of pain and suffering. And what does he tell them to do? Go obey the commands? Go figure it all out? You better get it right. No. What does he say? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. And help, may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Not once does he move away from this God of mercy. Blind Bartimaeus is a hero. The fact his name is used means that he stuck with it because they only used names that people would have known. He's actually the only one that's named that gets healed. He's a hero not for anything more that he cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he followed him on the way, which is the path of mercy. And God made him holy. And God made him just. The question for you and I is, will we do the same? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your living word. We thank you for Bartimaeus, who understood one thing, that you were a God of mercy. We cry out, Son of David, have mercy on us, and make us a people that are willing to follow you. And help remind us, as you reminded Robert Robertson, that we need this grace daily, and that mercy is available every day. Amen.